Ray, the president's up and tweeting, the Trump base is far bigger and stronger than ever before, despite some phony fake news polling. Look at the rallies in Pennsylvania, Iowa, and Ohio. And he went on to say the failing New York Times, which has made every wrong prediction about me, including the big election I win, apologized, is totally inept, exclamation point. I believe he's incensed about that long article regarding Mike Pence and the fact that Mike Pence is hiring people, putting a donor base together, forming a super PAC, all things that vice presidents do on some level, but he's certainly taking it to a new level, and they think he's eyeing 2020.
A lot of people think that the president is bored, he's not having any fun, he doesn't like that the poll numbers are low. Kellyanne Conway over the weekend saying the poll numbers need to come up, but Trump still says, hey, I'm a two-term guy, come get me.
So here is sweet Kellyanne explaining that it's deeply offensive to not only Mike Pence, his family, his organization, the president.
And his lord.
His family and everybody. It's just deeply offensive. Kellyanne.
It is absolutely true that the vice president is getting ready for 2020 for re-election as vice president.
So no concern he's setting up a shadow campaign.
And he's also getting ready for 2018. Zero concern. That is complete fiction. That is complete fabrication.
Complete fiction. Complete fabrication. But there are some indications that up to 75 Republicans, big deep-pocketed donors and consultants and the like, at least if you believe the New York Times, are in fact putting together kind of a alternative scenario just in case Donald Trump decides to leave one way or the other. By the way, just to be clear, today's article in the New York Times is disgraceful and offensive to me, my family, and our entire team. That's the response from your current Vice President, Mike Pence. Let's talk with Tom Bevin, Real Clear Politics co-founder. His show is 8 o'clock Sunday nights on WDLS. How much merit do you put in this New York Times piece regarding Pence?
Fake news. Look, I'm with Kellyanne on this one. I think the New York Times was, you know, looking to write something about that. They found some, I mean, 75, if they in fact had 75 sources, that's a lot. But I also think that, you know, you can find people in Washington to talk about just about anything in hypothetical
that's so
scenarios.
True.
And to Kellyanne's point, you know, you call up a bunch of these supposed Republican consultants or analysts and ask them questions about Mike Pence and say, well, yeah, you know, I don't think that Mike Pence has any intention of moving against Donald Trump in 2020. That seems just a far-fetched, silly scenario. And, I don't think he's necessarily putting in place any sort of, you know, fail-safe program on the assumption that Donald Trump is going to get impeached anytime soon. So I think this is largely the New York Times trying to stir up a little bit of internal dissension among Republicans.
Well, you know, you look at the things that he's gone through by President Trump in his first now 7 months in office with not a lot of things going his way. And Kellyanne Conway saying the numbers are dipping and they do want to come up. But you look at the economy, and I know that a lot of people don't base where the world is on a 401k statement. But you get a couple wins in there. You get a couple things going your way. And I think those poll numbers will eke back up. I just don't think Pence has that je ne sais quoi of a Donald Trump to try to make the run for the big chair.
Well, look, Pence is very well regarded and among conservatives, and he does have that sort of establishment, credibility, and he does manage to straddle both worlds. I mean, I think a lot of people were shocked that Mike Pence was, because he's kind of this buttoned up guy, was the guy to sign on to the Trump train, which is just it's a rollicking sort of out of control ride that's banging up against all the guardrails. And here you've got Mike Pence sitting there. So, I don't think that, I don't think there's anything there for Mike Pence. In another situation, would he run for president? Perhaps. But, he was term limited in Indiana, so he was looking for a job. And, I think he's legitimately looking at, after Trump, if Trump wins re-election after 2020, for him to be teed up for 2024 for a sort of third term of Donald Trump, although it would obviously – it would be of a different flavor than the last two.
I think both you guys, I think he does make it kind of an overt move in the third year here if things are still so in such disarray. But I will say this about Mike Pence. He has mastered the Remember how Nancy Reagan used to just sit there when Ron was giving a speech and she'd just stare up at him, just all lovingly and just beautiful and had this benign look? Mike Pence has definitely, he's got that down perfectly. Now, Mike Pence, along with Tom Cotton, a first-term senator, and others are all running out to Iowa to be part of Joni Ernst's pig roast. Let's take Mike Pence out of this scenario. Certainly John Kasich will make a move. Anybody else, Tom Bevin?
You know, there was talk about Ben Sasse from Nebraska. You know, Jeff Flake is out selling a book now and talking about, you know, conservatism and being sort of the one of the anti-Trump voices on the right. Look, it's not inconceivable that someone will try and challenge Trump in 2020 from the Republican Party. I think personally it's a fool's errand. I think Ben Sasse, you know, would have a really tough time, and he's got to win re-election before that. And that's not necessarily a shoe-in in Nebraska, given where that state is and the stances that he's taken. So I think it's possible, but it's a real, real, real long shot that anyone is going to upset Trump, even if his numbers continue to slide. I mean, his support among Republicans is still solid. If it continues to dip, then obviously the odds increase that someone could slide in there and try and peel some of those folks away in a primary, but still be very, very tough.
Tom, thanks for the analysis and getting up early for us. We appreciate it. We check out your show 8 o'clock on Sunday nights here.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Tom Bevin, the co-founder of RealClearPolitics.com.
Who would you put as the if you were going to put in your crystal ball and look at who would the top guy be on the Democratic side right now?
Oof. I mean, that's going to be wide open.
That is going to be. I know there'll be a field of many, and it's just going to get interesting to see who's going to be the first one to say I'm in.
Well, I think there's three or four already that have said they plan on putting together exploratory committees and the financials to make a run. It's going to be a horse race on that side. But they can't do it top down. In other words, the establishment, they tried to snuff out the Bernie Sanders people last time around. It backfired on them. There'll be nobody essentially crowned the king or queen of the Democratic Party from high on the mount. That's going to come from grassroots this time around, which is better for the party anyway.